lengthy gospel lesson is one of the most detailed and complete recordings of any of the events in Jesus' ministry. It is almost as if John, the writer, had stayed with Jesus at the well while the other disciples were in search of food. With such a complete recording of the event, John must have seen this event as being highly important in Jesus' ministry. To say the least, there are several weeks of sermons and the material for sermons within this one account. But Jesus and his disciples, who were in the southern region of Judea, had decided to return to their home base in the northern region of Galilee. Now, it must be understood that in order to travel from Judea to Galilee, they could have taken either a shorter route through Samaria or the longer, more difficult route on the eastern side of the Jordan River, thereby avoiding Samaria. Now, to us, this may seem to be a no-brainer. Who wouldn't take the easier route? The shorter route? Who in their right mind wouldn't take the shorter route? Of course, that is unless you are a sightseer and wanted to experience the vistas and adventures to be found on the eastern route. But for the Jews, the no-brainer was just the opposite of our thinking. Most Jews chose to travel the more difficult, dangerous, and time-consuming route to and from Judea and Galilee. The Jews did everything possible to avoid Samaria and any contact with Samaritans. They would have nothing to do with Samaritans, even though both came from the same ancestral heritage. In return, the Samaritans felt the same about the Jew. This was the epitome of both prejudice and an ongoing family feud. This feud all began when the Hebrews or Jews and their land were conquered and many of them were placed in exile away from their native land. The exiled Jews became the so-called lost tribes of Israel. But all the Jewish inhabitants were not exiled. Some were allowed to remain. The remaining Jews in the southern region of Judea remained true to their Jewish bloodline and did not intermarry. To marry a non-Jew, for them, defiled the bloodline, resulting in being excommunicated from Judaism. In fact, they were considered as dead. To carry this further, for a Jew even to associate with those of mixed marriages was an act of defilement in and of itself. You know, and this is even true today among some of the very extreme Jewish traditions. Of course, after the exile, those Jews who remained in Samaria did in fact intermarry with their non-Jewish captors. In doing this, they violated the Jewish bloodline, and thus any true Jew could not associate in any way with a Samaritan. On the other hand, the Samaritan would have nothing to do with a traditional Jew. since the Samaritans were turned down in their offer to help in rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Therefore, two peoples of the same ancestral background and the same religion were split apart, destined for centuries of prejudice and feuding. Each acted as if the other was not worthy to even be recognized. Now, this background information is what makes our gospel lesson so interesting and important. Jesus decided to take the shorter route through Samaria, despite the reality that they would be treated with prejudice and disrespect. He knew that they would have difficulty in finding lodging and food among these hostile people. There would be no hospitality extended to these Jewish travelers. Now, after journeying some time, Jesus and his disciples became weary and thirsty and hungry. At this point, they stopped at the ancestral well of Jacob. Jesus remained there while at least most of his traveling disciples went in search of food. And they had no easy task in light of the circumstances. The situation was even worse, since even the well did not offer Jesus any relief from his thirst, since he had no means of drawing the water from the deep well. He had no rope or bucket, and none was there at the well. But that would all change when a Samaritan woman came to draw her daily supply of water. Instead of ignoring her, like any self-respecting Jew, Jesus had the audacity to ask her for a drink of water. Imagine that. What a scene. For it must have been a shock to this woman to have a Jew talk to her, no less ask a favor. Now, breaking all precedents, she in return answered him. The resulting conversation which followed was stilted at times with the centuries-old prejudices, but ended up coming to a point of common ground, beyond all prejudice, beyond all hatred, beyond all bitterness. The barriers came crashing down. Slowly and deliberately, Jesus began to reveal who he was. The revelation began with him offering her the drink of the waters which he had to give her. And then it was a give and take back and forth between them. During this conversation, Jesus gave her the opportunity to confront herself, who she was, and her need for a new life. The conversation became very personal, very intimate. Suddenly, there was no distinction between Jew and Samaritan, nor was there any distinction between male and female. Woman, woman, he said, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. By making the statement, Jesus made no distinctions. In God's eyes, all were the same. All needed to confront themselves in repentance so that they can recognize God's love and forgiveness. Jesus thus revealed the commonality of both the Jew and the Samaritan. In fact, the commonality of all mankind, regardless of race, nationality, or creed, was the reality of his conversation. This commonality was realized when she believed his proclamation. His proclamation of, I am he, the Messiah, the one who is speaking to you. Now, with this meeting at the well, Jesus made clear that God's love, his forgiveness, was for all people. All people. Jew and Gentile. Black and white. Friend and foe. All people. The kingdom of God was for all and not just for a privileged few. And when his disciples returned and saw what was going on, you know, they must have been really taken back. What was Jesus doing conversing with a Samaritan woman? What in the world? A Samaritan, no less a woman. Why was he talking to her? But they, knowing that Jesus had broken more than one tradition and taboo, they kept the question to themselves, giving quiet acceptance. And so therefore they quickly turned the scene and their concern over Jesus' physical well-being, about him not eating. While Jesus turned their concern then into a lesson for them. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. The message of the story is that Jesus not only broke down the barriers of a long-standing feud and prejudice, but he knowingly utilized an adulteress to show that God's love and forgiveness knows no bounds. Remember these words he said, Jesus said to her, you are in right saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. It is interesting to note that even though she must have been shunned for her lifestyle, her enthusiastic acceptance of Jesus broke down the barriers with her fellow townspeople. You know, she could have been stoned to death by her townspeople for what she was doing. But her enthusiastic acceptance of Jesus broke down those barriers. Their hopes and dreams of a Messiah would shatter all their prejudices and bitterness so that they too could experience this Jesus for themselves and believe. They ended up saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. We never know who will touch the lives of someone else. Jesus, through this most unlikely woman, open wide the gate of the kingdom of God to all people of the world. All people. This most involving story tells us that the tree of knowledge of good and evil begins to bear the fruit of good when the evil of hatred and prejudice is overcome. It is then the fruit will be the beauty of all people as God's children, as our brothers and sisters. It is then our commonality is rooted in and sustained by God's living waters as found in Christ's message. This water of life will let us shine forth in multicolored splendor and beauty and become one as the colors of the rainbow become one. In a nation and world so divided by fear, prejudice, disrespect, bitterness, hatred, and extreme ideologies, we need to visit and revisit time and time again this encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. In doing this, we may begin to realize that we all have a commonality of the need to drink the living waters of God's love and forgiveness. Then we may find a new path, away from death and destruction, into a new life of peace and joy. Then also may be the benediction which is given every Sunday morning will give the strength and hope for this new life. That is why I created that benediction. So live on, knowing and living God's love, the joy of living this life of love, and the peace which can only come through the power of His presence within you. Live on in love, joy, peace, and power. Amen.